Simpson, Midget?
They were more into femininity. You know what I mean? Because I think you would just look great in a dress.
If you were...
Pretty much done, actually, thank you.
If it's cool, I'm just going to snag these leftovers.
I don't know how you do it, Molly.
Do what?
Dating people.
No. You do not need a man, okay?
So don't play the games. Just be you, straight out the gate.
Do you live around here? Because I live on aisle 6.
That was terrible.
It was kind of terrible.
What's his Instagram? I want to stalk a little bit.
He doesn't have one.
Say what?
Yeah.
Oh, no. See, that's shady.
Let's play a game. Tell me something you don't want me to know.
I hate this.
Okay.
Put all our hopes in finding happiness through someone else.
Yeah.
Girl, you are all digmatized and I haven't even seen this dude.
What's going on?
I'm going to tell you, but you're going to freak out.
No, this isn't happening.
Yeah, it's happening. No games. Is that what you wanted? It's about giving. Giving yourself over to somebody. Becoming one forever. That's love. Fuck this shit.
It's a straight girl's fantasy come true, right?
You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. You're listening to a bonus episode only for supporters. You know, April 2022 is a month where I'm doing 4 bonus shows. Maximal bang for your buck. To support the show, you get the ad-free versions, you get access to over 100 bonus episodes, and today you're getting an extra one of 4 in April. Today we're going to talk about the movie Fresh, alright? It's on Hulu as of this recording, and this is going to be kind of the alley-oop for the next bonus episode, where we're going to talk about a book by Kurt Berker about cannibalism, drinking human blood, and the Illuminati. Okay? I will successfully demonstrate to you that the elements from his book are present in this film. But to do that, we got to first go through this film. All right? Now, of course, plot spoilers are headed your way. Okay, let's talk about the film. Should you watch it? It's okay. It's good, not great. It's 114 minutes. But to be fair, it didn't feel like that long, right? Who's in it? Well, the director, Mimi Cave, I believe this is her directorial debut, if I'm not mistaken. Which is pretty amazing because it was, you know, pretty well done, to be honest. The main protagonist is Daisy Jessica Edgar Jones. You may remember her from the Epics series War of the Worlds. We talked about that previously, which it had some very dark elements, if you knew where to look. And I don't want to spoil the plot because it happens at the end of that series, but I covered it on my show back in, I think it was December 2020, we talked about it, something like that. Some very disturbing connections to adrenochrome, right? Which fits in line nicely with everything we're going to talk about today, as well as the next bonus episode. It's also starring a guy named Sebastian Stan. I only knew him from the Pam and Tommy show on Hulu, which I loved. I thought he killed it. I thought he did great. Apparently, he's in a bunch of Marvel superhero shit, so I don't know. Captain America, I don't know. Sounds good. He did really good, though. Anyhow, yeah, that's who's in it. And, yeah, I mean, should you watch it? I don't know, maybe it's pretty good. It's one of these comedy horror movies, and if you have followed me long enough, you know that is not my jam. I dislike comedy horrors a lot. I would say I would say this movie is definitely better than Studio 666. It's kind of on par with Shaun of the Dead, right? Shaun of the Dead was a great comedy horror. They successfully navigated it. But for me, I'm either in the mood for one or the other. So it misses it with me entirely, but it's pretty good. So there you go. And it was free. If you got Hulu, it's free. I mean, essentially free. So there's that. So if you can get your hands on a copy, like you're going to the video store, if you can get your eyeballs on a copy for free, for sure, definitely worth your time. Kind of gory. Lighthearted enough and funny enough, you can make the missus watch it with you, as I did. She was not thrilled about it, but she didn't hate it either, so it was fine. Now, without further ado, let's get into the film, because I'm actually more excited to talk to you about the cannibalism blood drinking book, but that's going to be on the next episode. Plot spoilers coming. Let's go. The film is about a young lady named Noah, played by the chick from War of the Worlds, and she goes on a date. Like, it starts out, she goes on a date with this guy who turns out to be a real loser. You know, he expects her to pay her way on the date, and, you know, he's just a bum, right? And her whole shtick is, like, she's frustrated, she can't find a guy, and throughout the film, she's consulting with her friend Molly, and Molly, she plays this trope that we see of the single sexually liberated friend who won't conform to society. She doesn't need a man. She doesn't want a man. But she's somehow glad to help her friend find a man. I don't know. It's something you see. You saw it in, there's a Netflix film called Sex Life. A series, I should say. I covered it with Miss Josie Weisab on Breaking Social Norms. Interesting show. That's all I'll say about it. So back to Fresh. So Noah, she goes on this failed date, and she goes to the grocery store afterwards. And here comes Steve, a.k.a. Tommy Lee. That's right. Tommy Lee comes walking in the grocery store, and he successfully gets her phone number, takes her to the bar, reveals to her, like, look, I'm a hotshot doctor, surgeon from Texas. But then we hear he's got no social media, which is a red flag, right? But he's very charming. He's very handsome. He lands the kiss. He even gets back into her place for a little sexy time, right? So the next night, they're still hanging out. They're having dinner. And she wants him to try her short ribs. But he's like, no, I don't eat animals. And he asks her if she had told anyone about how she went on a date with him already, which is a red flag. And she's like, yeah, I told my friend Molly. And he's like, oh, tell me about Molly. Tell me more about her. Because she doesn't see what's going on. Because as you could ascertain from the subject matter of this movie, things are not going to turn out well, and Steve's going to turn out to be not such a good guy. So Steve and Noah, they're hanging out, and he says, hey, let's go to Cottage Grove for the weekend. It's kind of like the Poconos if you're in PA, right? It's like, they go to Cottage Grove. They don't really tell you where it's at. Doesn't matter. Secluded, wildernessy, cabin-y kind of vibe. And he's like, let's go. So she informs her friend Molly, which is good because there's no cell phone reception up at Cottage Grove, right? So they get there. Turns out there's no Wi-Fi internets either. Another red flag, my goodness. So Noah is in the living room and she's looking at the wall and she sees a big piece of artwork that, if you watch the film, you can deduce that this artwork is actually flaps of skin painted and pasted onto this canvas. That's my take on it. Seems like it's pretty obvious that's what it is. I can't confirm that. They didn't state it on the movie, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is, right? So art made of human flesh, very similar to the concepts of the human furniture. And what does all that play into? It plays into social Darwinism. It plays into the idea of might is right, of these Illuminati types that think they've made it to the top of the food chain and everyone else can just die. It's the ultimate flex. So Steve, he gets her a drink, and turns out it's got the roofies in it. And Noah, she fades out and passes out. And bam, credits roll. That's right, 30 minutes into the movie. I love it. Great, great move. I didn't even realize there was no credits watching this thing. But yeah, they roll the credits 30 minutes into the movie. Pretty slick. Reminds me of Prince of Darkness, right? Except Prince of Darkness, they roll the credits near the beginning, but they just kind of keep happening for about 30 minutes. So Noah, she wakes up and she sees she's chained to a mattress on the floor. And there's Steven looking at her and she's confused. And he starts to tell her what's going on. And she kind of knows, right? I mean, you wake up in that situation, you know, things aren't going to look too good, right? And he proceeds to tell her, like, look, here's the bad news. I'm going to sell your meat. And you got to hear, I'm going to play the clip. He says it in the most matter-of-fact way you could imagine, too. Take a listen.
Steve, can you take this off, please?
Can't do that.
Can you take these off?
Can't Steve. Do that.
Take this off.
I can't do that.
No, this isn't happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
This isn't happening.
Yes, it is.
Please, this is a joke, isn't it, Steve?
Look, why don't you just try to... No.
Don't!
I'm gonna stay right here.
Don't come near me. Do not come near me.
I'm staying right here.
Steve!
Noah.
Oh my God! Are you gonna rape me?
I'm not gonna rape you. I like you, Noah. I like you. All right? Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully, okay? You listening to me?
Noah!
There you are. I'm gonna tell you now. I'm gonna sell your meat. People pay me a lot of money for it. And your hair, and weird shit like that. It's a thing, so I'm not gonna kill you right away, because the fresher the meat, the better. So I'm gonna keep you alive for as long as I can, unless you act up, all right? But listen, until then, I'm gonna take care of you. I'm gonna cook for you. I'm actually a really good cook. You don't know it yet. As long as you don't act up, nothing bad has to happen, all right? And look, this isn't bad, right? By the way, look at the sunset. Hey.
No!
being so dramatic. There you go.
Stop being so dramatic, he says. Now this, and this is where they nailed the acceptable amount of humor in a horror movie, I think. It's disturbing, it's deadpan, but it's funny. Unlike Studio 666 when you got Lionel Richie walking in. It's just corny. Anyway, Noah, she's chained up in this room, and she starts talking through the walls to someone in the next room. She can't see who it is, obviously, right? And we find out her name is Penny, and she's already had some body parts removed that were, of course, served as meat. We find out there's another girl named Melissa in another room, but she's kind of lost her mind. She's not communicating, right? So Noah's convinced that she can get out of this, right? This is what they teach you in the military. If you ever become a prisoner of war, your job is to constantly try to find a way out. And she's doing good. She's doing real good in there, okay? She's convinced. She's like, I'm going to get out of here. And that's what it takes. You got to have the power of the mental fight, right? So Molly, she's back in the office. She's like, where the hell is Noah? It's now like Monday. She should have been back from Cottage Grove. And she's texting because Noah won't answer the phone. And we find out Steve's actually texting back to Molly and sending stock photos and being like, oh, look at this pretty waterfall. And Molly, the all-knowing, she drops that photo into a search image response and finds out it's a stock photo. And Steve's like, hey, I got to go. Phone's going to die or whatever. So she's figuring it out. She's like, something's wrong here. Then we cut back to the cottage. Steve's doing a nice little 80 sequence to obsession. And he's processing meat from Melissa's leg, right? He's in the kitchen chopping it up, vacuum sealing it for his little clients or whatever. And the meat goes into a box for the clients, right? And the box, if you look, and I'm going to put the photos of all this stuff on Instagram. He's packing up a box with personal effects and photos of the girls to go along with the meat. And you'll see on the box, there's a logo of the goat, which is, of course, the Baphomet, the symbol for the Church of Satan. And what you'll see, and I'll try to show this on the image. And again, you got to follow me on the Instagram. Instagram.com/IsaacWisehop. You'll see the camera rotate in a as above, so below fashion. All right. We've seen this before in films like Midsommar. It's when you know there's a shift in reality, an altered sense of reality here. And we see that in this film because there's this idea here that there's a version of these men above ground, as above, where they're doctors and business guys or whatever. But then there's a below, so below, where these guys are real creeps. They're demonic, eating women, torturing them, and all that stuff, right? So we see the box go to its destination. Guy in a suit opens the box. And you catch his watch has the same logo of the Baphomet. They couldn't be more obvious. They beat it over your head that the Baphomet is the logo for this group. So back in the cottage, Steve's actually trying to warm up to Noah. And she's going to use that to her advantage to play his ass, right? She's like, okay, this guy's still thinking with his unit. I'm going to take advantage of that. So at this point, we see something very shocking. Now, when you watch the film, to the uninitiated, it's not that shocking. But what we see is a set of spiral stairs going from the dungeon up into the actual house. Now, these stairs are very tiny, and there's no handrail. And that's going to be your clue for next week's show, where we talk about this book, about this guy's experience in dealing with these Illuminati cannibalistic Satan worshipers. It's very shocking, I will tell you that. So they're do you like how I'm really building up the anticipation? I really want to, you know, there's one thing I've learned in all of my years of counseling and dealing with depression. You got to have something to look forward to. So I'm doing you a favor by not telling you everything. I'm giving you something to look forward to next week. Next week, you're going to hear all the crazy stuff that is in this guy's story in his book that shows up in this movie. And you're going to say, my God, it's like a shot for shot remake of the book. Well, maybe that's a bit excessive. There's a lot of really bizarre connections, though. I'll tell you that. So Steve escorts Noah up into the living room area because she's like, hey, I got to go take a shower. He's like, all right, let's go. And they're walking down the hallway. And they take careful caution to show this painting on the wall that has people playing with a black and white checkered chessboard. Okay. Now, of course, you know, the black and white of the chessboard is a very Illuminati Freemason symbolism. The Moses pavement on the floor of the Freemason temples and the lodges. But that is going to also play a role next week, so we're going to leave that there. So Noah, she tries attacking Steve, but he knocks her out, and she comes to, and she's on a surgery table with an epidural. And we find out he's cutting off her ass as meat, which is a really weird choice of for a guy trying to hit on this chick. But hey, you know what? To each his own. Meanwhile, back in the city, Molly, she is trying to figure out who Steve is, right? She's talking to her friend, who's the bartender who was serving Noah and Steve drinks earlier. And long story short, she finds out that Steve is a married guy, so she plans on paying him and his wife a little visit to see what the hell is going on. Meanwhile, in the cottage, Steve tells Noah, look, you got to try and relax. And the reason why he says that, he tells her the fear and stress ruins the meat, which is very curious. And then we also hear him say how meat prepared correctly can be quite exquisite. So they have this meat thing dialed in pretty good. So Molly, she gets all the way to Steve's house where him and his wife are. She confronts him and they deny everything. Like, I don't know Noah. In fact, my name isn't Steve. I don't know who you are or what you're talking about. But there's a plot twist. Wifey's in on it too. So they snatch Molly's ass up and take her to the cottage. But then double plot twist, we find out that wifey's missing a leg. She must have been a victim at some point too. Now, the film shows various elites eating the human meat, right? And you kind of get a look at different people. One of them's like a real bondage S&M, like gimpy looking dude. Like he's on a leash, eating it like a dog off the plate. Very strange. Then Steve, he offers Noah an actual dinner of human meat so she can see what it tastes like, because she acts like she's interested this whole time. But she's just trying to play him so that she can get up into the kitchen, maybe grab a knife and stab the dude or whatever she can do, right? She's trying to escape. And he falls for it. He's like, yeah, you know what? I'll prepare you a nice dinner. And we see him preparing the meat for this dinner, and he's actually outside. This is the day prior, of course. He's outside, and you see this archway with the same Baphomet logo, right? Over and over with the Baphomet. So it's time for dinner. Noah heads upstairs. She's escorted everywhere, right? So Steve escorts her upstairs to go to dinner, and she asks him some questions about how did he get into eating all this human flesh? And he explains the whole thing. Take a listen.
Don't worry, I'm not going to drug you. Again.
You better not.
Cheers.
So you mentioned you were curious.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to know?
Well, when did you first try it?
I was, 18 or 19?
19. Yeah. And look, it wasn't an overnight thing, you know? First, I was actually horrified. I mean, how could I possibly be capable of doing something like this? You know, I was a normal kid. I had friends. I had a normal life. And now I got to deal with this thing that I couldn't share with anybody. And that killed me. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't get the taste out of my mouth. The texture. I liked it. I liked the way it made me feel. So I thought, I gotta find out if there's more out there, you know? I can't possibly be the only person that feels this way. And I wasn't. There's a whole community of people that are devoted to this. And that's when my life started making sense. I mean, it's a very powerful thing. This whole world, if you only knew, is, it's about giving. Giving yourself over to somebody. Becoming one with somebody else forever. And that's a beautiful thing. That's surrender. That's love.
And how many people are in this community?
Not many. The 1% of the 1%. You know, there's nothing these people can't afford, right? They want the one thing that no one else has fucking yet. And that's where I come in.
I can get it for them.
I made a name for myself.
Is it only women that you eat?
Yeah.
Why?
That's where the market is. Plus, women just taste better. So, I cooked us something. If you're open to trying it.
Is it me?
No. We'll have a bite together.
Steve says he loved the way it made him feel and that made him feel powerful. And that's very important. He said, you become one with someone forever. He said, it's the 1% of the 1% who want this thing because they can't get it anywhere else. And that he only eats women because they taste better. And we see on the sequence that she takes a bite of the meat and her senses get enhanced. Okay. And we also see at the bottom of the plate, again with the Baphomet logo. So Noah acts like she likes the meat, but when she goes back to her room, she's throwing it up, right? Molly's next on the chopping block because they got her tied up. Meanwhile, the bartender, he's trying to find Molly. She dropped a pin on her location on her phone, so he heads up to the cottage. Meanwhile, Steve, he's gifting up Noah with a dress because he wants to do dinner with her again because he's a fool. He's falling for it, right? So they both get dressed up. They have a nice dinner. He's actually feeding her Melissa's liver with garlic and rosemary. Seems like a bad move if you're trying to make sexy time later. You better avoid the garlic. But hey, to each his own. So he opens up, and he's revealing to her all these secrets because he thinks like she's part of it now, like she's a freak like him. And he opens up that skin art, that framed art flap, skin flaps. And behind it, we see all these cubbies that are full of women's photos and has some of their clothing. These are all the victims. And there's like roughly 20 to 30, so it's a lot of them, right? And that's also going to come up in our book talk next week. Same strategy the Illuminati allegedly use in real life is what you see in the film. So they do dinner, have a little dancing, great song, Richard Marx, Endless Summer Nights. They're getting ready to do sexy time, even though she's got no ass, all right? So she goes down on him and chomps his piece off. That's right. She chomps it off with her teeth. She runs out the room, and she tries to like lock him in the room, and he's screaming, obviously. She goes down to the girls, finds out it's Molly. She's helping them escape, and he's, of course, flaming hot mad, and he gets through the door, starts chasing them. They catch up with each other in the kitchen, but the ladies make it outside. Here comes wifey out of nowhere. Steve and his wife they're hunting for the girls. Meanwhile, the bartender pulls up to the house, so everyone's meeting up, right? Noah ends up getting the best of Steve, and she gets on top of him and caps him. He's dead. But then wifey, everyone's kind of like hiding out in the woods, and then here comes wifey looking for everything, and she finds Steve's dead body. But she's so cold-blooded, she don't even care. Next thing you know, she catches up with Noah. She snatches her up. But then Noah stabs her in the neck with some keys. And then Molly comes through with a shovel. And you know what time it is. It's murder. And, you know, apparently Molly and Noah make it out alive. Steve and wifey are both dead. And we see Noah's cell phone blow up with a text message, "You up?" from Chad from the beginning of the film. And that's how it ends. The film ends in the same way it starts, with the struggle of dating and the dating apps. And that's the end of the film. But if you keep watching, halfway through the credits, you see a shot of five dudes sitting around a circular table getting ready to eat human meat. And then it shows you the Baphomet on the credits and all that. Again, follow the Instagram to see more about that. Now, why did they show us that? Well, in terms of conspiracy folklore, the round table is representative of the Illuminati. This goes back to the round table group from 1909. The reason they sit at a round table is because no one man is ahead of this table. This is the elite of the elite, the 1% of the 1%, as Steve had said previously. This is the banker cabal. It's the usual suspects of your United Nations, CFR, Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, Bilderberg. And supposedly it's some kind of British-backed London takeover of America through the banking system. And all of that. So I would argue that the person who wrote this film and made this film, they knew a thing or two about conspiracy, and they put it clearly in the film. So that's the whole film. Now you're going to be ready when we talk next week about this cannibalism, blood-drinking book. It's very disturbing. It's by Kurt Barker, called cannibalism, blood drinking, and high adept Satanism. And it sounds a bit sensational. I'll admit, when I read it, I was kind of like, maybe. But he's got such good detail that you kind of think, well, probably. I mean, it goes somewhere between maybe and probably, right? Now, in conclusion, let's wrap up Fresh so we can move on to, we got bigger fish to fry, all right? Fresh. It's another comedy horror, but it's pretty good. I give it 3 out of 5 stars. Maybe deserves 4, maybe. I wish they would have had more of the Illuminati angle. They kept beating us in the head with the symbolism of the goat, you know, the Baphomet, which we've talked about many, many times in the past. Goes back to the Knights Templar. But yeah, this movie, it's kind of like Shaun of the Dead in the sense that it's got that comedy horror vibe that actually kind of works. I don't like too many comedy horror. Even Army of Darkness, didn't like it. Didn't like it. But this is kind of, this film serves a purpose like Squid Game. It's a bit of revelation of the method of the ruling elite taking part of absolute depravity. And if you recall in Squid Game, we even had human furniture as well. It was the same, similar idea. You had these elites who get off on torture of regular people. They think they're above it. Some social Darwinism examples here. And then the human furniture, much like you see in this film, with the skin flaps on the art. So there you go. Now you're ready. So next week, come back, and I'm going to walk you through this entire book by Kurt Barker, called Cannibalism, Blood Drinking, and High Adept Satanism. Not for the free feed. You're only going to get it as a supporter of the show, which I do want to thank you. Thank you for being a supporter of the show. You're the reason I am here. And this is what keeps the lights on, so thank you very much for your support. And until next time, stay woke.